Is this the normal crowd, Brother Clifford? Well, it's sure good to see everyone here today. It's real good to know there's people that love the Lord, and we want to encourage you to keep walking forward with God. And I'd like to put a scripture up here on the board today. Anybody know what that says without looking? It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Yes. And did you know that there are 594 chapters before this? And you know there's 594 after this? And I barely passed math, but I can tell you what this equals. It equals 1188. And if you put a couple little dots there, you'll see that the center of the Bible, the very center of the Bible, 594 chapters before and 594 after, the center of it says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And folks, if this doesn't help us this morning to keep a balance in our life, it tells me that God is the center. And He wants to be the center of your life. I don't know how far this morning the scales are tipping to one side in your life. How far you have gone that maybe your faith has been questioned in God. And maybe you really don't understand what God is trying to do in your life. Maybe you've come here this morning with a question mark in your mind. And you really don't know where the scales are tipping this morning in your favor or against you. But I want to tell you something. God is the center of everything. He wants to be the center of your life. He wants to balance things that are out of hand. Things that have gone and tipped the other way. Maybe you have lost a little of your faith in God this morning. Maybe there's been things that's caused you to... Maybe your childhood, some of your upbringing has caused you to lose faith in God. Maybe you've been through, your parents have been through a divorce, and it's been nasty, and it's left you feeling like, well, it might have been my fault. I might have been the reason that my mom and dad separated. You know, I don't believe you need to carry all of those scars. I don't believe you need this morning to be carrying all of that weight upon your soul. I believe God wants to help us this morning to cast all of our care upon Him, for He cares for us. Yes. He is able to balance the caustic things, the things that have a tendency to eat away at our spiritual life. And He has a way to put a balance, to keep a normal balance in our life that will help us to maintain our faith in God and keep going forward in this life. There's a wonderful scripture here. I'd like to look in the book of Isaiah, the 26th chapter, and read this today. I do desire your prayers. The Lord would help us today. I know that God is interested in us. And I would like for you to memorize this scripture. If you would, if you could take time in your day to memorize this scripture, I believe it will help you. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now, mind you, God is going to keep, He wants to be the center of our life. He wants to be the very thing that we pivot upon. He wants to give us confidence in Him that we can make it. But He wants us to load ourselves down. He wants us to upload this morning. There's some things we need to program into our minds and stuff that will help us. Young people, I want to encourage you, memorize the Word of God.
Yes.
Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. There's so many ways to look at this, but I tell you, it's wonderful this morning when we have that comfort and the consolation that God is going to take care of everything for us. When we moved to Springfield, Missouri, we started building a house, and I was not very good in managing all of what we were spending, but I knew that I'd gone too far over, and I was in trouble. And the bills weren't due yet, but we were in a winter bind. And some of you that knew Brother Murphy Allen, Brother Murphy had cancer on his nose, and it ate every bit of his nose off. It ate his upper lip off. He pulled his teeth. I'm sorry to tell you this, but I'm telling you, this man, I had such confidence in him. He was the pastor, and he was a good man. I couldn't figure out sometimes, Lord, why would you let him suffer? Why would it? And I asked him, Brother Murphy, would you do all this again? He said, why'd you say? And I said, would you do all this over again? Oh, he said, sure. But he came over one day, and he didn't know nothing about what I was going through. And he said, I felt inspired to have prayer with you. And so we went in the part of the garage that we had built, and we knelt down and had prayer. And while he was praying, the Lord gave me a vision of a bird's nest. You might say, wow, you are really down on the rung if that's all the vision the Lord gives you. But you see, I've got someone told me I had a foul spirit, a F-O-W-L spirit, not a F-O-U-L. But I had a foul spirit. I love birds. I can understand when you show me a bird nest and you show me some little eggs in that nest, I have a mind enough, I can figure that out. And it was as clear as I am standing here before you today, this little bird nest and these eggs inside it. And when Brother Murphy got through praying, I said, Brother Murphy, I had this vision while you were praying of this bird nest. And he said, well, whatever laid the eggs can come back and lay some more. How many of you this morning know how long it takes for a chicken egg to hatch? And I don't expect all of you to speak up at once, but 21 days, thank you. 21 days for a chicken egg to hatch. A quail, a little shorter. Geese would be a little bit longer. But 21 days, I want to tell you, the Lord supplied our needs. 21 days. He knew if he could just show that bellboy down there, I'll show him a bird nest. That's all he needs. And I got a hold of that. And I want to tell you, it's just like he said, whatever's been laying the eggs has come back and done it again. I'm telling you this morning because I know that we're living in an imbalanced world. We're living in a world, and young people, you're coming up and I don't know what some of you are seeing in life. Maybe you're not seeing very much from your parents. Maybe you don't have good parents. Maybe your parents have not been very faithful. Maybe they've been not very trustworthy. I believe God this morning wants us to get a hold of some things that will just clinch our life and help us to see that you can make it with what you have. You can do it. You can be faithful to God. You can get a hold of His promises. He says here in this verse, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. So I'm telling you, in all the troubles and turbulence in life, our God has a way to comfort. He has a way to give you peace. He has a way to encourage you that is beyond what we can hardly explain. In 1 Peter 5 and 7, it says this, casting all thy care upon him, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What kind of a place are you in this morning? You're in a place where you really don't know how you're going to make it. Maybe your husband has left, or maybe your wife has left you, or maybe you're left today. You have no idea what you're going to do. Maybe it has left you bitter. Maybe there's been things that has happened in your life and the devil likes to do that just to come by, stick something in you, pull it out and take off and say, bleed out now. I've got you. I've got you. You'll never get over that wound. You'll never get over that defeat. You'll never get over that. Oh, but I'm telling you, God has a way to make the cripple walk again. He has got a way to make the bird that's had its wing broken to soar again and take off and fly. I'm glad our God this morning has not left us just hopeless and bleeding and out there alone with no comfort. No, He said that will keep him in perfect peace. His mind is stayed in. He didn't just put limitations on it and say, this is only for those good people. This is only for the good ones. You bad ones that went through all kinds. No, it's not for you. That's not our God. He's saying to us this morning, I want you to cast all of your care upon Him, for He careth for you. How vivid a picture I have is my mother and I would kneel down and pray. She had this little saying that, and it said that very thing, He cares for you. And I remember that today, and it's helped me so many times. I believe God wants us this morning to cast all of our care upon Him. Would someone get Philippians 4 and 7 this morning? And then I want to look again over here in Isaiah. I want to encourage you today. God has got a way for you to make it. He has got a special little place that's by Him, just like He told, I believe it was one of the prophets, He told him, said, there is a place by me. There is a place by me, and God wants to help us today to feel that comfort of His presence. Would someone read that for me? Philippians 4 and 7.
And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. I tell you, our minds are in a battlefield today. You might have come here and you might be stewing this morning over things somebody just said to you. Somebody really chewed you out good. You know, there's been some times that happens, but oh, I'm glad for the peace of God that comes by and say, brother, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. I wrote down some statistics here I want to share with you. Worry, we waste half of our time worrying. Are you a worry wart? What is a wart, you know, I've had them on my hands, but a worry wart. They're always, it's like, I wonder if we're going to get out of time to eat. I wonder, what are they going to have to eat? I wonder if they're going to burn the food. Wait, just stop worrying right now. Somebody's going to take care of all that. You have nothing to worry about. How many of you've grown up and you've come up in a perfectionist home? Well, thank God for the perfectionist. Every time I get on an airplane, I say, I'm so thankful for a perfectionist. You know, every rivet is in that wing. Everything is tied down and it's buckled down. But I want to tell you, you can get in such a frenzy sometime in your mind because God has not always given us. All we have is today, folks. What do we have? How many of us can dig up yesterday and go back and say, I'm going to smooth out. I said this and this and this. But how many people, how many of us today, if you're honest with yourself, we have damaged ourselves sometimes so much because of yesterdays. Oh, the yesterdays. Oh, I lament the yesterdays. Oh, worry over the yesterdays. We can't do it, folks. Yesterday's gone. You can't pull it back up. And how about tomorrow? How many? Let's start worrying about tomorrow. Let's start worrying about it, okay? Get started now. Worry about tomorrow. Okay, I know that if I don't show up at a certain time, I'm going to be in trouble. And I know whenever they tell me this, I'm going to be really doomed. I know I can't pass the test tomorrow. Stop it. Stop all that business. All you have is today. But we expend so much of our time worrying about yesterday and tomorrow. All we have is today. Let's enjoy today. Let's just cast aside all of our fears and things that we've had in our life and just worry about today. I think about Peter when he was arrested. How many of us knowing tomorrow's my last day? Tomorrow's it. I'm going to be killed. You know what? Peter was sound asleep in a chain between two guys. He was chained up. I don't think he was worried about it. And that angel come by and had to shake him. We got places to go, Peter. Come on, get up. Let's go. Oh, okay. And they just get up and take off. The chains fell off. The doors went open. God doesn't want us to worry, but we spend so much of our time. Okay, men, look at your fingernails. But first, I'm going to look at mine. Yeah, I don't know. People that do the vacuuming sometimes are on my bench. I'm afraid they have to pick up fingernails. And I don't know, maybe you women that they're... got that one. We do that sometimes. We worry and we just get to the point, you know, it's like we would plug up a vacuum sweeper. We look at all the things we're worried about. I've got to get that one. What am I doing? God help us today. I tell you, I'm preaching this message to myself. I don't know if you all get anything out, but worrying is it's a habit. It's an old habit. If you can recognize that worry is a habit, and worries fall into three percentage categories. Listen to this. 40% of worries are about the past. I want to tell you, one day I was asking the Lord to forgive me for the things that I did in the past. It came back and I think about some of the things I've done. I said, oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord, forgive me. And I go down the road and I think, oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, the Lord reproved me one day. Stop asking me to do that. Yeah. Stop. You're making me look bad. I've forgiven you. Don't stop. Don't keep asking for the same thing. Oh, Lord, forgive me. And maybe I didn't ask you good enough. Lord, please forgive me. Please, please. Stop it, folks. You know, the Lord wants to help us to have peace.
Yes.
He wants us to get some kind of a balance.
Yes.
A balance that we can begin to normalize. We can begin to put things in perspective.
That's right.
We can begin to focus on what really we need to be doing. But the yesterdays, we can't do anything about it. 50% of our worries are about the future. And I don't know who bites their nails off on this one, but thinking about, I wonder if I can get a job. Mm-hmm. I wonder if I look good enough to get a man one. Boy, I bit a big one off. And I just wonder if I can do this. And I wonder, 50%. Is about the future. And the Lord's saying, don't worry about the future. Consider the lilies. Consider the lilies. One time in Springfield, it was our first year there, and it was about 10 below zero, and it was a heavy snow, and I looked out the window, and I saw this cardinal that was in all of this snow that was on this tree, and it was singing a song. And I thought, how can you do that? All your food is covered up. Your feet are cold. How can you sing a song? But that bird inspired me. I told you I had a foul spirit. I told you already. But those birds can encourage you sometimes just to think they don't sow. There's nothing they stored up. They live day by day, and our Heavenly Father takes care of them. How much more for us today? What are you worried about? What's worrying you this morning? Are you worried that you don't have enough fuel to get home? Are you worried about what tomorrow's going to bring? You got bills to pay. Do you know something else I wrote down? A lot of our worries are financial worries. A lot of them are. We worry about this and we worry about that. But you know, God wants to help us to see. He will provide everything that we need. He will take care of us. You stay in His will. You stay in the balance. And let Him be the center part of your life. And He will take care of things on this side and that. He will supply all of our needs according to what? James Bell's banking account or Brother Michael's account or no, according to His riches in glory. That's not depending on my good works or anything. It's according to His riches in glory. 10% of our worries are about present matters. So may the Lord help us today to be rid of worries about past mistakes. Here's a little thought for you. Practice the art of forgetting. Forgetting. Paul said this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't altogether reached everything that I'm wanting to reach, but I have done this and I'm practicing this." When you think about Paul holding the clothes of the men that stoned Stephen. He's standing there by. Don't think he's got his back turned to all that going on. No, he's watching. He's pick up that stone. There's a good one right there. Now get him. And to hear that crushing in on him and all that bothered him. Yes. Don't think it didn't. He witnessed that. And it wasn't that only. When he imprisoned people, to hear the screams of mothers, their children, they was getting separated and families divided up. Paul heard those things. But he came up with this conclusion, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. That means to stretch out. Folks, we're going to have to stretch this morning. You can't stay in this same mull of grubs. You can't stay down in that same old place you've been living in. You can't live down there and on dark corner and gloomy avenue. You can't stay down there with all of those humbugs and all those other things down there, that gloom and despair and that old bitterness that comes by and says, "Yeah, how are you doing today? Yeah, you're in a good place here." And you, all these miserable comforters, all kinds of, the brother mentioned about a creepy crawly, I don't know. There's all kinds of things that are there. They're on that avenue of gloom and despair and bitterness. They're hanging right around that area. They will taint your soul. Yes. They will cause you trouble. They'll get you off balance. Yeah. It'll cause you to have negative thoughts, and you won't be your chipper self. You won't be able to get out and do, because we've allowed things to pile up and accumulate. You know, there is this accumulation of things sometimes that we've got to be able to dissipate. We need to open the doors up of our mind. I've watched propane gas, and one time we got a call. There was I was a volunteer fireman for a while in our community, and there was a call, and this trailer house, it raised the roof up in the center about this high. The whole roof of the trailer house came up, and what happened inside, there was a leak on their propane, on their dryer, and these folks are just caring about their normal life, but that leak got the flame, and that thing blew up inside, and just is like a tin can, and blew the roof up this high. And you know, what happens, that kind of gas pockets. It goes to the lowest point of a room and it'll pocket. And it'll lay there. It'll lay there. A natural gas is different. It'll dissipate up in the air. But propane, it will pocket and go to a low point. What you need to do is open the doors and get some ventilation and blow that out. What we need this morning, my dear friends, is open the windows of our mind. And we need to let some things go and let the Lord just blow some of those negative things out of our life. Open up the doors and let those things just be wafted out and say goodbye to them. And if we've been living down there in gloom and bitterness avenue and the freeway, and we've been having all these negative things, we've gotten used to them coming by, we just lived and it's just become a rut to us. Hey, this morning the Lord is saying, wait a minute, I want to be the center of your life. And when I'm the center, I'm going to support everything on both sides. I'm going to push up and I'm going to let things run off. There's going to be things, if you just let me be the center, I'll raise that center of your life and everything will run off. And I tell you what, we can be better people when it's all said and done because God is our support. He's our strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Listen, this morning we have something powerful here that God is trying to work with us. And Paul said, I'm reaching forth, I'm stretching, I'm putting an effort to get out there further. I'm not just satisfied with staying back in that old place that I'm at. The Lord is saying, what are you doing back in there? Can you think of a prophet that got in trouble like that? I can. His name was Elijah. His own name betrayed him. Elijah, the prophet of fire. Elijah, what are you doing? He said, I've been very zealous for the Lord. He said, Elijah, come on. There's more than you think. And he said, well, I've done all these things and now I'm running for my life. He said, yeah, but you should have stayed where you was at. And had he done that, oh, there might have been encouragement and Jezebel might have been overthrown much quicker. But anyway, I want to tell you today, we can run sometimes and we get in where we act like we're pursued by something and it just drives us. I've looked at the wild look in people's eyes sometimes. What are you doing? Oh man, this thing's chasing me. This thing's after me. Well, stop running. Stop running. You slow down here. Get your mind back. We gotta get a hold of reality here. I've watched how Satan has destroyed. I've seen people cut their wrists and try to kill them. And all these things, and it's like the devil is trying to drive. God help us this morning. The Lord leads, the devil drives.
Yes.
Understand the difference. Yes. The Lord leads, and He'll say, come this way, come, come. You can make it, you can make it. I think of Sister Emery. She was Brother Ori's aunt that came to our house when I was a little boy. She went in the bedroom. My mother had rheumatic fever. And she said, Ruby, it's time to walk now. We're going to walk. And my mom said, oh, I don't think I can. Sister Emery said, you throw your arms around my neck. We're going to walk. And I remember, as a boy, I remember seeing that elderly woman get over there by my mom, and my mom throwed her arms up around her neck, and my mom started walking one foot at a time, just going down that hall, one foot at a time, and she was trudging along. Here was this elderly saint. She said, come on, Ruby, you can do it. You can do it. I want to encourage you today. You can do it.
Yes.
You may not feel like it, but you can do it. You can get out of those molly grubs. You can change the way you've been thinking. You can let God come in and support your life and raise it up and start shedding off some things that needs to be. It's breaking down your soul. It's breaking down your life. It's breaking your health down. Stop this worrying. Stop. God can help you. He wants you to trust in Him. He wants you to get a hold of something. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He wants us to get a hold of that, folks, this morning. He doesn't want us to stay down and out and in the gloom. Look with me in the book of Isaiah again. Thank God today. Time is running out, but here's something I've got a hold of. I want to share this with you. In the book of Isaiah again, 32 and 18, and my people shall dwell in peaceable habitations and sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. I tell you, the people of God have a refuge. I found a refuge now from every sorrow, joy, everlasting and sweet. I see this world with all of its follies conquered at my feet. Blessed thought, my sins are gone. I lean on Jesus' breast. Oh, this morning God has some quiet places for you and peaceable habitations. He doesn't want you to Continue on in the ruffled state of mind that you're in. He wants to help to calm some things, folks. There's too many of us that's being buffeted unnecessarily. We're going through and carrying some guilt, and it's a... I heard something Brother Michael was mentioning the other night. All of this guilt, it's like a big old heavy suitcase. And to carry guilt, we've got to have blame. And so here you are. Picture yourself with two heavy suitcases, and you're trying to make it through life. On one hand, you've got guilt. And the only way you can handle that is blame. And you're telling, well, the reason I'm like this, it's because of what my daddy done to me. It's because of what my mom done. It's because of my children. It's because of this. And, it's because, and we carry these things all day. And we have to. Don't you see people carrying all this guilt has to be able to blame it on somebody else? They have to be able to tell, the only reason I'm doing it is because of the way I was born up. It's the way I was treated. And so I just have to carry this through life. And the Lord's saying, drop that stuff. Yes. Put your hands up. Yes. You're under arrest. Stop it. Throw your hands up and say, don't shoot me. Throw your hands up and say, I'm here, that's me. And walk away from that stuff.
Yes.
Get away from it. Now you come over here. Keep your hands up. Leave that stuff over there. Right. My people are going to live in a peaceable habitation. Yes, what you're doing and carrying all this stuff around, you're not building muscles. You're not building muscles. It's making you weak. The Lord's saying, and we heard the other day, we need to be able to walk. We need to be able to run. We need to be able to move. We've got a journey to make. Stop carrying all that stuff.
Yes.
Once we get a hold of God, we realize this peaceable habitation, sure dwellings, it beats living on old Gloom and Doom Avenue. It beats living down there with all of those people like that. All they have is negative things to say about people. Have you ever been around people that you get around and pretty soon it's just all bad, and nothing good. Get away from that.
Yes.
You can dwell in some quiet, resting places.
Yes.
He didn't stop. He said, when it shall hail, coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Thank God you're going to miss some big places of destruction when you're living in one of these cities that God wants you to live in. He's got a design place. So let me tell you, we've been fractured this morning. I feel like humanity has taken a blow from Satan. We've been damaged severely sometimes. And our God is saying, I want that to stop. I want the damage control. Now, we've assessed your situation. We've looked at your needs, and we have help for you.
Yes.
No longer do you have to live where you've been living. No longer do you have to carry what you've been carrying. No longer do you have to stay there. There's a new address that I'm going to give you. You've got a brand new place.
Yes.
And I want you to move up into that. I want you to cast all your cares upon me. I want you to let me take care of things for you. Stop worrying about it. Stop making all of your children upset and everything. Just live in peace.
Yes.
Sister Essie Moore, her husband was not a good man. Her husband would cut firewood for her, and it would be too big for the stove. And I know some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but that's the way they lived. And if your firewood can't fit in your stove, then you close the lid partially. And what does that do? It smokes up the whole house. Chalmer was not a very good man. He went in the hospital. I'm going to fast forward through years of struggles. Fast forward that till Chalmer is in the hospital and he had a heart attack and it was pronounced dead. Sister Essie Moore didn't stop praying for Chalmer. Miraculously, this man woke out of the death sleep and lived for 2 weeks. And he got his heart right with God. I tell you, our God is so merciful. She could have become bitter over that. She could have let all these things just tainted her. And she's that old man. It, you know, when I get to thinking about him doing that to her, it can kind of make me angry. But you know, she was able to forgive. I want to say to us this morning, whenever some of the worst kind of bitterness is secondhand bitterness. It didn't really come from me. Well, let's say someone hurt my children. They did something to affect my children. They didn't do it to me now, but and you say, all right, if they did it to my children, it's just like doing it to me. And you take up that offense. You pick that offense up. And you say, they should never have done that to my children. When you pick that up, you've got something on your hands. Be careful, folks. The Bible says, mentions something, I believe, in the book of Proverbs, that he that passeth by and meddleth with things that didn't belong to him is like one that takes a dog by the ears. Be careful of meddling. Be careful of picking up things that don't belong to you. And then try to make it in life. It didn't happen to you personally. Understand, it happened to your best friend. It happened to your mom. It happened to your dad. It happened to your brother, your sister. Be careful. That kind of bitterness has a way to contaminate you, because God can give grace to the people that it happened, that it was committed against. But those that weren't, they picked that up. I've seen this. I hope you believe this morning, but this can cause so much trouble in your life. These kind of things are very damaging. May the Lord help us today not to pick up anything that doesn't belong to us. Don't touch it. Leave that alone, because there's poison in that. I remember Brother Richard Madden had a dream one night. This man, he was deathly afraid of snakes. He's walking on a dirt road in his dream, and there was this little tiny head stuck itself out of this hole. And he, being a fairly sized good man, he thought, boy, the best thing to do is just go over there and kick that thing and just knock that head off of that. The Lord spoke to him, said, you better leave that alone. In his dream, he thought, I'm big enough to handle it. Little tiny thing coming out of there and looking at me like that. He just reached over there and kicked that thing like that. And all of a sudden, out of the ground, this thing started coming up. And it wasn't a little old tiny snake. It was like a monstrosity of a thing. Be careful, because bitterness.
Yeah.
Be careful, because things like that, you think, it's a little matter. There's no problem there, man. I'll take care. No, be careful. You're not big enough for that.
Yeah.
Don't you understand? None of us can handle things like that.
Yeah.
It can eat you up. And sure enough, it wasn't very long at all. There came a situation just like that. Brother Madden was sitting in a minister's meeting, and he was about to stand up. Brother Ira Stover got his coattail and jerked him down. He sat back down, and he found out later how valuable that jerk on the coat was. Because had he said what he was going to say, it would have got in so much trouble. Be careful this morning. I don't know how to tell you. I don't know how to convey to you today, but there's unnecessary things that we just need to walk away from. Don't waste your time on them. They won't profit you anything. They will be of no value. In fact, they will contaminate your soul. He said, my people is going to live where? In a peaceable habitation, sure dwellings, and quiet resting places. God has a wonderful plan for you today. He does want to balance your life. He wants to be the center. He wants to give you support. He wants to give you hope. He wants to give you an end with expectation. That is our God. So never, like Paul, I count not myself to have apprehended. I reach forth to those things which are before, forgetting those things which are behind. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The high calling of God this morning is still calling after every one of us. Leave the past behind. Stop worrying. Stop fretting. Stop moping around. Move off the corner of gloom and doom. Keep going and looking ahead. There's something better for you this morning. Wisdom. We read about in the book of James. He said here, we read this the other night. Wisdom is first pure, and then what? It's peaceable. Peaceable. I want you to think about that this morning. God wants to give you peace.
Yes.
Practice the presence of God in your life and realize that the Lord is in some of those small things. Even some of those irritations that come, the devil like to get you stirred up at, well, what are you going to do about this? Well, what are you going to do about that? You can't do this. You can't do that. And get you all worked up. And pretty soon you're just in a frenzy. No, God wants to put a calm on us today. Help us to know, I am God. I am God. You can trust me. I'll help you. Give our yesterdays and our tomorrows, Lord, I can't pull them back. I can't change it. I give them to you. And He'll take all of those yesterdays. And He'll bless us. So I trust the Lord will help us. I think I read this scripture the other day. And I'll finish with this in the book of Luke, the second chapter 2:13-14. The beautiful message of the Lord. Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Thank God for this today. We have a wonderful Savior. He's interested in your peace. He's interested in you today having peace. When you lay down tonight, for you not to be just so upset at all the things you've done, all the bad things of yesterday, and what you're going to face tomorrow. He just wants you to be at peace. Stop worrying. Stop. God has designed peace, the peace that passes all understanding. He'll give that to us. Thank God for that. I tell you, folks, it's been wonderful to be in Oregon. It's been wonderful to be here with you. I've enjoyed this meeting. I've enjoyed being here. I trust God will bless every one of you and encourage your hearts and help you to live close to Him. If this morning, by chance, there would be someone that needs prayer, I want to tell you, we'd all be glad to pray for you today. I don't believe there'd be one of us that would say, I sure hope they get a little bit more envy. I hope they get some more worries. We're just going to pray more worries on them today. There's nobody here like that. Nobody is going to pray that. We would all pray, Lord, give them peace. Relieve them from the worries. Relieve the heaviness that's in their life because of sin, because of fretting, worrying, bitterness. Relieve them. That's our prayer today. May God bless you in a very special way today. Seek the Lord. He'll be found of you.
Yes.